people in my heart. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down.
God is our strength and our refuge, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be moved, the Lord of hosts is with us. Our Father, who art in the heavens, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so upon the earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Blessed are those who mourn.
Be seated. Hear now the teachings and quotes from the Lord's holy word, and also some teachings and doctrines from the church from which I represent. And he that is our God is a God of salvation. And unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. God will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. For the Lord hath spoken it, and he has said, Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine, saith the Lord. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And in the book of Revelation, we read these following comforting words. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow with them. Behold, the tabernacle of God himself shall be with them, and he will be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And from the teachings of the church, a person in themselves never dies. For whatever is alive in them is their soul. And that since the body serves us as an instrument responsive to a living, moving force, everything in the body acts and feels belongs exclusively to the soul and nothing of it to the body. It then follows that the soul is the real person, or what is the same thing, considered in that we are spiritual beings. Hence it is that when our body is no longer able to perform its functions in the natural world, it is separated from that body, which is called dying. But the soul continues to live and is responsive. We ourselves live because we do not live from the body, but we live from our soul. Those who have lived in what is called true marriage love are not separated from one another at death. The spirit of the one deceased will continue to dwell continually with the one not yet deceased. And they stay close and nearby that loved one of theirs until they too die. And then they once again meet each other in heaven, and they celebrate, and they are happy because they are now together in the spiritual world. Let all of us know and remember, therefore, everyone is born and is received into heaven, who receives heaven within themselves while living in this world. And I've saved this one for last because it has been many times a comfort and counseling to me when having funeral services. Those who die are taken up into heaven. And while in heaven, they move into what is called the flower of youth, into a beauty which exceeds every beauty ever seen on earth. And goodness then delights and has its shine on their face. In closing, in a word, to die old on earth is to grow into the springtime of youth in heaven. What a beautiful thought to think of Janet. She has died, infirmed, but the Lord has taken her into his loving hands and in the care of his angels. And she's moving into the springtime of youth. May we rejoice and be happy in our hearts for the fact that the Lord is beginning this wonderful process with our dear friend, Janet. Here end our lessons. May the Lord add his rich blessing to the hearing and doing of these truths. Amen. We'll now have an interlude of the 23rd Psalm.
Thank you.
In the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah opens up in the first chapter with the Lord coming to Isaiah and saying the following thing: "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be scarlet, I will make them as white as snow." We've come together in this house of the Lord to lovingly remember, to say to the Lord, thank you for giving us a dear friend named Janet Dristy Farrell. Thank you. She had a charm about her that I think the picture on the front of your manual captures. What a smile. When Janet smiled, you could hardly keep yourself from smiling back at her. She touched chords. You know, pianos, when they're well tuned with, say, an instrument like a violin, we're taught that if the piano plays a particular key, the string on the violin begins to vibrate. They're in tune. And so we've come together with the Lord to reason about this thing called death. It never comes when we want it or accept it. We can never determine how our death will occur. But the one thing we have to carry strong with us is that the Lord is with us. We have a teaching in our church that goes something like this: the Lord is, everything else is not. Now, that's not being sarcastic to us. It's reminding us we are because the Lord is. And the sooner we recognize that we are because the Lord is, we will quit fighting him. If anybody has the idea, I can get along without the Lord, I can do it all myself. If the Lord were to allow us to dismiss him and completely get rid of him, it says we would immediately be gone. Because that which is not connected with is can't continue. And so Janet came into this world as a child. Peggy carried that child for 9 months. Forrest rejoiced at the thought of having a child. She grew up. She had friends in school, classmates. She was sometimes the mother of the new initiatives coming into school. She guided. She had this sense of being with people and wanting to help them. She met Mark. One of the things we have in our church is this teaching that when the Lord is in charge, a young man and a young woman seem to meet as if by accident. And at some point, the love in one says, she is mine. And the she looks at him and says, he is mine. And they get married. And in this marriage came 5 children. I don't have the exact order, but I hope you forgive me. I'm going to name the names of the 5 that came into the world: Christina, Margot, Alicia, Devin, Bennett, and the last, a grandchild named Julia. Oh, how she loved being a mother. How she loved being a wife. How she had a way of reaching out to classmates and making them friends. I want to tell this wonderful story. I was a guest speaker down in Florida. And my topic for the day was, how did you come into the church? And I asked for volunteers that were there. There were probably 150 people there that would come up and say, what does the church mean to you? And guess whose hand was one of the first ones up? John. She came up and told why her church and what the teachings of the church meant to her. And I had made up, without anybody knowing it, little shirts that had the expression, I love to tell the story. So after Janet got finished telling her story, I gave her a shirt that had that expression. And I saw her afterwards. I said, Janet, what made your hand go up first? She said, well, when I packed my luggage, I forgot to bring an extra shirt, and I was determined I was going to get a shirt. What a lovely person. Touching, but she came up and she spoke from here about what the church meant to her. One of the things I love about what the Lord teaches is, just as no two snowflakes are not alike, we're taught that in this room there is not a single person that is exactly like another person. We are uniquely different. The Lord has prepared a use that He wants each one of us to perform that nobody else can do. Isn't that wonderful? We are drawn out of the gene pool of the Lord's infinite variety. And that's why, as I chose as the topic for this talk, they that look at the Lord are radiant. If you want to go and read it for yourself, open up the Psalms, number 34, verses 4 and 5, and this is what you will hear. Those who seek and look to the Lord will hear them, and He will deliver them from all their fears. They who look at the Lord will have faces that are radiant. My prayer to each and every one here today is that you indeed, through your faith, through the various faiths that are here, that we will look to the Lord and that we will have faces that will be radiant. Not boring, not disappointed, but a face that just radiates the love that we have for the Lord and for one another. In the book of Isaiah, we have a fact and a teaching that the Lord wants to be with us, care for us. But when did the Lord first become aware of you and me? In Jeremiah, the first chapter, verse 5, we have the following teaching. Listen to this carefully. And the Lord said, behold, I knew you before you were in the womb. Isn't that amazing? Before we would begin to form in the womb of our mother, the Lord knew us. And before you were born, I sanctified you. The Lord is a loving creator. Now, if the Lord took that much effort to know us before we were born, doesn't it make sense that we reason together that every one of us is going to die? And the Lord has a meticulous plan about how we're going to die, when we're going to die. But now the church that I come has a teaching that I want to share with you. It says this: the Lord knows exactly, precisely, when we're going to die. And before we die, He sends His celestial angels. Now, to give a description, these angels are closest to the Lord, and they are loving, they are patient. He sends two of these celestial angels and sat with Janet. They sat with her, they didn't say a word, but they kept their eyes on her. And while they sat with her, they were projecting into her mind thoughts about the next life. And when Janet died, immediately, not an hour, not 2 days, not three, immediately, it says they took her by the hand and led her over into the next world called the world of spirits. And when they got there, Janet says, "What do you mean I'm dead? Look, here's my body." And these celestial angels say, "Well, you know, is there somebody you know that you loved that died? And we'll bring them to you so that you can talk with them." Now, wouldn't that be an interesting question? I wonder who Janet would have probably asked to see. I have no idea. Forrest, maybe you know, or Peg. But she asked, and they got talking. And eventually, Janet got to see, yeah, I made the transition, and it was so smooth, I had little or no awareness of that transition. We don't know how long, but eventually those celestial angels leave, and along comes what's called spiritual angels. Now, the book of Revelation talks about when we die, we have our book of life opened. May I just change that from book of life to book of love? Because what these spiritual angels do is they begin to help Janet to see more clearly what she loved. And that love boils down to love for the Lord and love for the neighbor, or love of self and love of the world. Now, I can't judge, but from what I have seen of Janet, I bet you she loved the Lord and loved the neighbor. She was always wanting to help. Remember the five, was it five or four that you guys took care of besides your own children? Always caring, always loving. And so those spiritual angels just stayed with her. And the book of love was opened. I guess I want to close this talk with the following thought. We all love Janet because she loved us. She was easy to love. Her face just was radiant. She loved Mark. She loved her five children. She loved those four foster children. She loved her grandchild. But most of all, she loved being of use to the Lord. And so in closing, I want to go back and remember the lessons that I picked to read. May I just review them quickly again? We don't have to worry because our God is a God of the living. He's not a God of the dead, and he said, "All souls are mine." Let not your hearts be troubled, because I've gone and I've prepared a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you there. And God will wipe away all tears. Death will be no more. And there will be no mourning, no crying, no pain. For these former things are wiped away, and he who sat upon the throne, our heavenly Father, said, "Behold, I make all things new." That horrible enemy called cancer did its work, did its part, and Janet refused to acknowledge that she had it. She was stalwart that she was going to find a cure. Well, death came and the cure was there. She loved springtime, I'm told. Well, guess what? She's now moving to the springtime of youth. Janet is already beginning to move from that decrepitude to vitality, to youth, to beauty, to radiance. And in closing, I want to say this. Let all know and remember that every one of us is born for heaven. And they who receive heaven in themselves while in the world will have heaven forever. Last quote. Once again, the prophet Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord, and the Lord said, "Who shall I send to do the work I have chosen?" And Isaiah spoke up with the following words, "Here I am, Lord, send me." And the Lord said, "Go and tell." Would I be wrong to put Janet in that? Who shall I send to tell the story about heaven? And wouldn't her hand be one of the first ones up to say, "Send me"? May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. We'll continue our service with the singing of the next hymn, followed by one of the daughters, I forget which one, is going to come up and give a little eulogy. Okay.
Person. She was selfless and giving and happy and had a beautiful, fun-loving spirit. I'm going to miss her so much. I know we all are. She's truly one of the best people I think we will ever know. She was born in Tallahassee, Florida, the Sunshine State, which I think is fitting for her personality. She was a devoted wife to my dad for 30 years and an amazing mother to her five children. She loves being a wife and mother, and somehow always met the chaos of raising 5 children with patience and a smile. She passed away on the first day of spring. A time of new life, and she would have loved the symbolism there, as she had strong faith that our spirits go on to eternal life after death. There are a few lessons I've learned from my mom that really capture the nature of who she was. First, cherish family and friends. Second, leave the world a better place than you found it. And third, live every day with optimism and a smile. It becomes apparent when someone is sick how much support and how many friends they have in the community. I know it is a testament to the kind of people my parents are that they know so many incredibly kind and giving people. My mom formed strong bonds and lasting friendships at every stage of her life. She was always thinking of others and never had an unkind word to say about anyone. She cherished and loved all of you, from her childhood friends to her AMC classmates and college friends, the Sturbridge community, the folks at the YMCA, Radio Journal friends, the Gear and Malucci family, Silver Lake crew, and her knitting ladies. I know I'm missing people, but I could go on forever. She made friends wherever she went. I think my mom was the only person I will ever meet who would wipe down the counters in public restrooms before she left them. She wholeheartedly believed in leaving a place better than you found it. She had this idealistic mindset of loving everything and everyone, even when they seemed like opposites. Like saying she was a libertarian and campaigning for Bernie Sanders. Or claiming she was a Red Sox and a Yankees fan. She just really hated to see anyone lose. She left the world a better place, having lived the way she did for 58 years. If there is one thing to say about my mom is that she was eternally optimistic. Throughout a difficult diagnosis, she always kept smiling and kept her happy, positive attitude. Three days before she died, she bought an exercise bike, convinced that she was going to use it. She told me she wanted to dance and sing until the very end, but of course that would be 30 years from now. And on the morning she died, she was... she was still smiling and humming to herself. Truly a ray of sunshine to everyone she met. It's difficult to capture the essence of such a full life in just a few minutes. My dad knew her best, and in his words, she will always be remembered for her love of her family and friends, her welcoming heart, and her beautiful and infectious smile. God bless her beautiful soul. May she feel the warm embrace of our Heavenly Father.
May we bow in prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, your love goes without any limit. Your love is infinite. Before we were in the womb of our mother, you knew us. Before we were born, you sanctified us. May we go and do our work. May we do it with love for you and love for the neighbor. May we be big brothers and sisters for others who are lost or confused.
May we look to you and have faces that are absolutely breathing. Do these things, Lord, so that when we hear you call and say, whom shall I send? That we will volunteer readily and say, here I am, send me. Thank you, Lord. Bless us and receive us when it's our time into that grand communion where we will move to the vitality and the springtime of you. We ask these things in your loving name. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm sorry?
Right, 7:30.
Oh, okay.